I believe that we as Christians have the best news in all the world, and that's the news of Jesus. But sometimes the way we sort of talk about our faith and the way the world sees our faith, it looks a little underrated. So if you're with us and you haven't been with us for the past few weeks, or you're visiting for the parent-child dedication, that's the series we're in, underrated, and thinking about how because we settle for less than what Christianity is really all about, it can become a little underrated. So things like sometimes we think about God as this great genie in the sky who just gives us what we want when we've been good enough. And really, this is the loving God who created all things and reached out with Jesus for us. We talked about the fact that sometimes Jesus is seen as just a judge, like he's just up there looking down on us, hoping we'll do something wrong that he can catch us in. But really, he's the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins. We talked about faith, that we sometimes see it as a wager, sort of a bet against hell itself, but really faith is a commitment to serve God with all of life. And last week we talked about trust and how we can use trust as a little bit of a platitude. So like, well, just trust God will work things out. And really trust is something much deeper, trusting that God loves us and even when things are very difficult, God is at work in our lives. And today I want us to take a little bit of a turn on this and think about the Bible. Now, I believe the Bible is probably the most misunderstood book in the world because people come at it with all kinds of presuppositions. A lot of people who are followers of Jesus come to the Bible knowing that, well, this is God's inspired word. God spoke to people for hundreds of years and produced scripture that leads us to him, helps us understand him, and tells the story of Jesus. So it's a book that we go to looking for God. Well, that's good, but then there are some people who look at the Bible and go, well, I don't believe in that God anyway, right? So what good is this book if I don't believe in God? And so they reject it out of hand. That's pretty common. And then there's another group of people who look at this book and say, man, when I read this thing, it just feels like a lot of rules. And I'm really not interested in any more rules in my life. In fact, this just describes the way the world worked 2,000 years ago and even further back than that. So why should I choose to live my life by these rules that are so old when they don't even apply to life in the 21st century? The Bible's just a rule book. And that's what I want us to think about today. Because I think that's pretty common. That it's antiquated, that it's irrelevant to me because it's a bunch of rules that I don't understand why God's interested in all that stuff anyway. So why should I follow it? Now, here's the thing. When Christianity is underrated, when we settle for something less, there's usually a grain of truth in what we believe, but we're missing something bigger. And that's true here too. Because it is a truth statement that the Bible has a lot of rules, right? First five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Somebody's counted, not me, but they say there are 613 laws in those five books. That's a lot of rules to keep, isn't it? And so there are a number of rules in the Bible. That's just the first five books. So some people could read, if they started reading their Bible in Genesis, and go, there's some pretty good stories. Exodus, wow, people get out of slavery, that's cool. Leviticus, whole lot of rules about the way the priests work, and a whole lot of rules about how to build the tabernacle and make sacrifices. Numbers, Deuteronomy lays it all out very clearly, so maybe this is just a rule book. I want us to think about that today. And to do that, I'd like us to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be there in just a minute. These rules were so expansive that there were times when people would come to the great rabbis and say, we can't keep all this in our head. What are the greatest rules? Even Jesus talked about that. We'll come back to that later. But as Paul opens 1 Corinthians 15, a few weeks ago we were in 1 Corinthians and I talked about the fact that this is a really difficult letter. Paul is struggling with his church. He's been there, started the church, but they're facing all kinds of problems that he addresses in this letter. And in chapter 15, he's addressing a key one that we're going to look at because it speaks to how we understand the Bible. Here's the problem. Paul taught that Jesus came, lived among us, died on a cross, raised from the dead. new body and that he is going to offer us that same new body, that in the end we will be raised from the dead and spend eternity with God. That's the good news of the Bible. People came in and began to teach, that seems a little outlandish, a little hard to believe. I mean, we're really supposed to believe that we, as followers of Jesus, are going to be like raised up from the dead, for real. And so they began to question. I'm not sure this is going to happen. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15 to counter that thinking. This is what he says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. So let's go back to the basics, Paul says. Remember, I was there with you. I'm going to remind you what I taught because this is what matters. In fact, he says that even stronger in verse 2. By this gospel, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise, you have believed in vain. So if you're believing something else, if you follow a different way, this is all wasted. So what should they believe? Verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That was a common Jewish way of teaching. We see Paul say that in 1 Corinthians 11 when he talks about communion in a really familiar passage. So I received this, passing it on just like it was passed to me. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The most important thing is Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So the thing Paul wanted them to believe first and foremost was this. Jesus went to the cross for them. Now, this is a place where Paul just says this is connected to forgiveness of sins. Something inherently changed at the cross. Things were different after Jesus died on a cross. Now, how did that forgive sins? He doesn't talk about it here. He talks about it elsewhere. That's for another day. But the point is, this changed us, changed who we are, changed our relationship with God. And Paul says this is according to the Scriptures. He's going to use that phrase over and over. What does he mean? Well, the New Testament, not written yet. Okay, he's writing part of it as he wrote this letter. And most of it is not on paper yet. So when Paul says, according to the Scriptures, you take out the New Testament and what you have are the 39 books of the Old Testament that Paul, as a Jewish rabbi, would have studied very carefully. And what Paul is saying is, everything that happened in Jesus is according to what the Bible says all the way through. And what he's pointing back to is a promise made to Abraham way back at the beginning. Listen, Abraham, I'm going to bless all nations through your offspring. A promise repeated to Abraham's son Isaac and to Isaac's son Israel, whose name was Jacob. And this promise is made that God is going to bless all nations, all people through Israel. And so Paul could look back and say that these Old Testament scriptures, whether they're laws or stories or poetry or prophecy, are pointing forward to Jesus. God's story was at work then, and it was fulfilled in Jesus on the cross. Verse 4. That he, Jesus, was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Paul says, not only was he killed on the cross, he was actually dead because they buried him. It wasn't that they just thought he was dead. He was really dead, and he was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, according to God's plan from the beginning. And he began to appear to people, to Peter and to the rest of the apostles. They all saw him, and it wasn't just a small group of people. Verse 6, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom were still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, that was Jesus' brother, and then to all the apostles. Paul says, here's the core of the gospel. God made a promise to Israel that Israel would be a blessing to all nations, and the rest of the Old Testament is looking forward to the fulfillment of that promise, which was in Jesus on a cross, in a grave, raised from the dead. Raised not to die again, but raised for eternity. And all of that is the fulfillment of God's plan. And it was no secret, so that lots of people could see. Hundreds of people saw that and testified to it. And then Paul points a mirror to himself and says, "And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born," because Paul saw the risen Christ in a vision. Okay, so let's take a step back. Got it? This is all God's salvation history fulfilled in Jesus. What does that have to do with the Bible being a rule book? Fair question. I think the point that we see here is that the Bible is not just a set of rules. From beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is all about Jesus. From the beginning to the end, the Bible points us to Jesus. So this is a story. The Bible is, in some ways, a huge story that's all about God bringing salvation to all humanity. And that's why we as Christians have the best news to share. But you might have some questions in response to that. Maybe one of your questions is, well, what about all the rules? Why do we have so many rules in the Bible if the story is really all about Jesus? Here's what I think. And this is more about what I believe to be true than this is book, chapter, and verse. But I think if we look back to the Old Testament and we look back to the law, what we see is that God has chosen this people, Israel, to be his people. They're in slavery, and he brings them out of slavery, makes them into a nation, gives them a land. They're his special people through whom he's going to bless all of humanity. And he wants them to be different. He wants them to be set apart, to be made holy. And how does he do that? 613 commands of the law. Every one of those was designed to set them apart from every culture, every people around them. And it says, you know what? If you're going to be God's people, you got to deal fairly in business. So you can't have one weight that you use to weigh out grain for one person and a different weight to weigh out grain for other people. You can't show favoritism. You got to respect your husband, your wife. You got to raise your kids right. You got to treat people with respect. You got to do what is right in your words. You got to speak truth. And all that said, we are a people. There's just one God. That's in there. We are a people who are different from everyone else, chosen by God to be holy. And through this people, all nations will be blessed. It's pointing forward to Jesus all the way back in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. From the beginning, this story points to Jesus. Next question, how does this affect our lives? How does a story affect our lives? Well, I think it helps us understand who we are. Because we are created by God and loved so much by him that he has been working from the beginning of time to bring us salvation. So this story teaches us about who God is, a loving, powerful God interested in us, and teaches us who we are. We're always oriented around God. And then finally, another question. How does this change the way that we live? You know, sometimes it's easy when the rules are laid out very clearly. That's why even churches have bylaws, right? Lots of organizations have bylaws, so you know what the rules are. And if you have questions, you open the bylaws and you read them. That's sort of what the law is. Open the law, you read it, you know what to do. What's interesting is that Jesus didn't come and spend 3 years giving laws. In fact, Paul says that we're not bound by all those 613 laws way back in Genesis through Deuteronomy. Jesus could have done that. He could have given a lot more laws. But instead, he did things like this. When they said, okay, Jesus, of all the laws, what's the most important? Mark chapter 12, verse 29, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Jesus said, if you want to know how to serve this God who loved you enough to send his son, you love God, you love others. In some ways, this is both easier and much more difficult than the law. The law lays it out, this is right, this is wrong, it's always very clear. What Jesus gives us are some basic pieces of what it means to be a human being, and he says, you know what you need to do? Spend the rest of your life interpreting loving God and loving others. Spend the rest of your life applying this and helping people understand this is what it means to follow God, to show love to the people around you. And yes, it affects the way that you treat your spouse. It affects the way that you treat your kids and your parents. It affects the way that you interact with people in your work and how you do business. It affects how you worship. It affects what you do in the community. All those things are powerfully affected. And the hard work that we as Christians have to do is not to obey 613 laws, but to think through what does it mean to love God and love others. Because from the very beginning, the story of salvation points to Jesus. And Jesus points us to loving God and loving others. And so this book, yeah, there are some rules here, but at its core, that's not what it's about. At the very core of this book, it is something much bigger, something much more expansive than a rule book. It is the story of God's love for you. Let's pray together. God, we're thankful for the Word. Thankful for those who listened to you and wrote it down. Thankful for so many people over the years who preserved it, copied it, passed it down so that we have it today. And God, we pray that as we read it, we will discover just how much you love us and also recognize what it means to love you. God, help us to get the story of Jesus and to pass it along. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and continue to worship.